Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me in studio, Dave Olson of the Chicago Paranormal Society. How's it going, Dave?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've heard a lot about you through our mutual friend, Susan Rowland, and I know that you guys work together a little bit in some capacity. But before we get to that, this is a very busy time of year for you. We are talking in the month of October.
Yes.
And I know it's a very haunted time, and a lot of people are reporting things going bump in the night. So for you, Dave, when you've got your job, and then you've got your Paranormal Society job. What does that entail when you're part of the Chicago Paranormal Society?
Well, at this time, it gets so busy, we have to pick and choose cases. And, when it comes to someone's home, mm-hmm. especially with children, we'll take that as a priority. And
right.
We'll do what we can to help them out and then put everything else on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, we get a lot of calls for studio time, maybe a radio station, the news. I got contacted by Channel
Fox
32.
Yeah. Uh-huh. For what? What were they wanting to do?
A segment for Halloween.
Oh, you know, of course.
An interview.
Sure. Oh, yeah, for Halloween.
But, and there are a lot of events coming up. Mm-hmm. For instance, I got contacted to help with a tour and an investigation at the Joliet Prison.
Yeah, so no, that is fascinating, because you're going to be with Ursula. We know Ursula from Chicago Haunted Tours.
Yes.
She's been a guest here on I'm Spiritual, Damn It.
She is great.
She's fantastic.
A wonderful person.
So how did she get clearance to go to the Joliet Prison? Like, how does that work? Because Ursula is not a medium but she, like you, has a lot of the equipment to document it, correct?
Right, and she's a great historian.
Of course. She knows all the ins and outs.
The knowledge she has is mm-hmm. unbelievable.
Yes.
But, with her company, and she's a great talker, storyteller.
Fantastic. So she's taking a tour through the Joliet Prison?
No, she has, I think, for 4 or 5 weeks, mm-hmm. Got the contract to give regular tours, I think more informational tours,
gotcha.
Sightseeing.
I thought you guys were just going to, creep around the corners and lift open the doors.
But then, I think there's two early tours like that are more informational, and then mm-hmm. there's investigative tours that I'm going to give for a couple nights.
So when you have your investigations, Dave, talk me through the equipment that you're talking about. Because there's cameras and, there's audio. There's the EVP, which is the electronic
voice phenomenon. Right.
So what are you bringing to the table? Like, for example, what are you going to bring to Joliet?
Okay, Joliet, there's a time limit on this, so mm-hmm. I won't be able to do a full setup. A full setup takes several hours
okay.
to set up everything. So we're going to.
Why? What do you do normally?
Well, we got the command center, which is
like an ambulance.
An ambulance,
okay.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like the TV shows out there that mm-hmm. they have the camera feeds from inside coming outside into the command center.
Right.
But there's a lot of wiring involved. We got night vision cameras, full spectrum cameras. Thermal imaging cameras.
Mm-hmm.
We saturate the place with cameras.
Right.
And there's all type of different voice recorders we use. We'll set up throughout the place. And EMF meters.
Sure.
All different type of devices.
What I love what you do, Dave, is because I interview a lot of people who claim that they see stuff or hear stuff. But what you're getting is the reaction into electronic equipment that shows that something is really truly happening here.
Yeah.
And a lot of people need that. Like, they don't just believe that a lady is talking in the corner because somebody says a lady's talking in the corner.
I'm like that.
You're like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So you want, and I'm a journalist. That's how I started. It's like, I want my sources to be, able to call me on a landline, please. So that's important. So for you, in your years of doing this, what are some of the examples of stuff that just kind of really freaked you out?
There's two.
Okay.
It actually gave me nightmares, and I almost gave it up. But
oh, dear.
There's one in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It was a few years ago. We took a long drive out there. They just moved in there 6 months. And this is the God's honest truth. And I wasn't even sure if it was possible. I'm very skeptical.
And this was a home. This was a resident.
This is a home.
Okay. And they called you with what problem? Like, what was going on?
A couple things, but the main problem was the spirit of an old lady. Well, it was showing itself as an old lady
mm-hmm.
was bothering the two kids.
Got it.
And the lady's very sensitive. So she goes, Dave, I don't think this has ever been a human spirit before. Could you come and check it out? So I'm like, sure. And so I went there, and I tell you, 20 seconds after I walk in the house, right in front of everyone's eyes, I get attacked. And I didn't even think that was possible.
Attacked how? Physically?
Yeah, like, something rips me open from my eye. I forget if it's, I think it's the right side.
Uh-huh.
Rips me open, makes my ear bleed, and then a deep scratch down my neck.
So you got cut. You had a physical reaction to something, and everybody saw it.
Yes. The homeowners, my team members.
They did like, not
they
want
started,
you there.
Hey, Dave, you're getting attacked. You're getting scratched. And it took about 5 seconds or so, and then the stinging started.
So you didn't even see anything? You just felt the stinging?
Right, and we had no equipment going. We just got there. I just walked in about 20 seconds.
Wow.
But then I got attacked again later that night.
The same place?
Yes, actually right around the same area. But this time we had cameras and voice recorders rolling, and we're in the pitch darkness. And what we were going to do, we were going to do a group session, EVP session, so the homeowners wanted to be part of it, ask questions, and see if we get any answers.
And for those listening who don't know what EVP is, it's when you put out a recording device and you listen, and it's electronic voice phenomenon. So you listen, you ask questions, and then you let it roll, and then a lot of times something will play back.
Okay. Yes, that's probably where you get most of your evidence when it comes to paranormal investigating.
Okay, so you're sitting around.
I'm actually standing in the pitch darkness, and I'm burning in the neck. I'm like, guys, something's happening. It felt like someone had a lighter to my neck, and it's burning.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, guys, get over here. There's something happening. And so they bring the cameras, the flashlights, and right in front of their eyes, a line of welts just formed on my neck.
Mm.
And so that scared me.
I can imagine. Really. All right, tell me one of your scariest stories.
Okay, this one actually terrified me, and I had nightmares for a couple nights.
Wait, more than the one when they scratched the eye?
Yeah, this one was worse, and this one opened my eyes to the possibility of demonic being out there.
Okay, go ahead.
Wasn't sure what I believed until this happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a case I never got to do, but it was, how can I say? I can't say any names, but it was
just
I'll
make
just
up
say
names.
A Chicago employee.
Yeah. Okay,
at a professional job. Did construction on the house. Mm-hmm. Ever since they did that, it stirred up something.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband started having night terrors.
Okay.
Now, he saw medical help, sleep studies, and they couldn't find anything wrong with him at all. But she started recording his night terrors.
Mm-hmm.
And she called me up. I just left my side job. It was about 11 at night. I'm driving home listening to the recordings of him screaming bloody murder. Mm-hmm. Almost like he's being raped. It was actually kind of terrifying listening to it. And a lot of people that come visit the house will leave that night, or after staying one night, will turn around and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Their daughter won't stay in the bedroom anymore. So I pull in my driveway. We finished recording, and she goes, Dave, do you hear a female voice screaming my husband's name? And I'm like, I hear something, but it's kind of hard to hear over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing in my driveway. I wanted to make sure I have a clear connection because I'm talking on my cell phone.
Right.
And as we're talking, I hear this voice come through the phone lines. And I didn't even know this was possible. And I got mad at her because I thought she was pulling one on me.
Right.
And I hear, if you could picture the exorcist voice, that demonic.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I thought it was her playing a trick on me. I'm like, you think this is funny? Wasting my time?
And what did that voice say?
At first, I couldn't understand it, but it was, I'll never forget the rest of my life, the sinister laugh.
Oh,
you know,
right.
And it's coming through, and I'm like, and she goes, what are you talking about? I hear your phone going in and out, but I don't hear it. That's what the lady was saying on the other line.
Mm.
And then it talks over her, so I know it's not her. And it started moaning her husband's name.
In a female voice?
Yeah, a female demonic sounding voice.
Oh, no.
And then it started moaning my name, David,
oh,
you know, really
God.
Evil. And I'm standing, I'm actually in shock. I'm standing there freaked out in the darkness in my driveway. And the phone line went dead.
Oh.
Now, she was calling me from her home line because she was playing the audio recordings from her phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing there in my driveway in shock. And it felt like two fingers started stabbing me in the neck, and where I couldn't breathe, it was cutting off my windpipe. And I'm starting to kind of freak out, and I reach into my car, grab my cross, put the cross on, and thank God the feeling went away.
Right.
But something was starting to choke me. I
you knew it, and you felt
it. Yes. And so I'm standing there, and then maybe 30 seconds, a minute later, she calls up from her cell phone. She goes, Dave, my home phone's broken. I had to call you from my cell phone. I can't get the line to work anymore. And it took about maybe a minute, mm-hmm. and his voice came back.
Through the cell phone.
I could never get her address. I could never set a time to go over there. It was blocking
me
from getting this information.
Right.
And it lasted about a half hour, and then we just finally hung up. And I think it scared her to death, and it scared me.
Did you find out if it was resolved? Did they ever get this addressed?
No.
You never knew.
Never knew. And I still wonder from this day.
To this day, you wonder.
I mean, I hope to God. I mean, it scared the crap out of me. Excuse the language.
You can say crap. Okay. You can say the F-bomb, too. But why start now when we are saying F-bomb?
Yeah. But that's a case I would have loved to have been able to document. You know, the show. I mean, if this is true, show people, it is out there.
Yes.
But it would have terrified me. Mm-hmm. But I never did the case. And I never felt, for 2 days after that, I felt like something dark every time I was sleeping was to my right in the back of the room. I never felt alone. I felt the presence.
Ugh.
And
that was before you knew Susan and knew how to take care of it,
right.
probably.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. that was pre-Susan. And I almost gave it up after that because I'm worried about my wife and my daughter.
Of course.
And, but it went away. And I think it's something that didn't want me there. And I don't know. For investigations that I do, I get very lucky, and I get a lot of voices. I get a lot of evidence for some reason. Maybe that's because I'm a little bit on a sensitive side.
Sure.
And I want to communicate. But something felt threatened when I got scratched, and mm-hmm. something didn't want me there that night investigating that house with Absolutely. That voice coming through.
Oh, that is creepy.
I can't even explain
right?
how evil sounding
no,
that was.
No, but you witnessed it.
It still terrifies me when I, you
and know, you're saying you had nightmares for days?
For at least 2-3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep. I had to research. I had to contact people to see if this is even possible.
Right.
Because whatever it was so strong that it actually came through the phone lines.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And that is one of the things, that's why EVP is so popular, because it's electronic. The electronics is one of the ways that they can manipulate.
Yeah.
But also in a very positive way. I mean, there's an entire documentary, there are documentaries on EVP evidence of kids coming through and saying, love you, Mom. Like, you know, there's all wonderful, positive things. I'm sure you've experienced those too.
Yeah, you know, it probably because I'm a father, you know, mm-hmm. and when it comes to a child, that affects me a little bit.
Oh, heck yeah.
Especially... Susan was able to move a young one, I think it was a young boy, at the Elmwood Park Library.
Sure.
She did a full walkthrough. It was really amazing. And we even during the walkthrough, we got evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And she picked up on a little boy that was looking for its mother.
Aww.
I think, if I recall, the little boy drowned. I don't know if it drowned
nearby
on the property, but probably nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just wandering. And Susan says usually the young ones... really young ones are taken right away to the light.
Right.
But I forgot if it was 3 or 4 years old, but it was looking for its mommy.
Aww.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But she moved him on that night. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
We love to hear the positive ones,
yes,
too.
Exactly.
Oh, that's good. So now you've worked with Susan Rowland, and she's a big, big advocate of protection.
Yes.
So have you learned a few things, mister?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So do you walk in and you cleanse yourself when you leave? You got the sage going, the Palo Santo going.
Yes.
I mean, the sprays, the protection. Some people talk about crosses. We get why people bring in St. Anthony, whatever the heck it is. Whatever it takes, bring in the big guns.
Yeah, I just had a lot of stuff re-blessed a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Who's your blesser?
Since I work out at the airport now.
Yeah.
I go to the chapel there.
Awesome.
So, you know, I told Father Mike what I do, and
mm-hmm.
so he blessed everything for
That's
protection.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a lot of friends who give me holy water, and I'll take it any day of the week, because you know what? I'm sorry, there are a lot of movies out there, but you experience the real thing, and there's darkness. There's good and there's bad. There's Luke Skywalker and there's there's Darth Vader. It is what it is. But I also feel that the more we fear it, the more we attract it. So do you think part of you was afraid at those shoots?
You know, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
You know what terrifies me? And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm here to document it, and I want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Something like The Exorcist. You know, I haven't came across that yet.
Right.
I hope I would stand ground and not run out, but that terrifies me.
Might run out. Yeah, huh? Absolutely. So I met a gentleman, you know, and I've met a lot of people who have a lot of wacky stories, but I met a man who was a priest who was called in to do some exercising, you know, and this family had been hooked on their Ouija board and they were asking it all these questions. And, you know, I tell people you got to be really careful when you do those things. You can't just make it a ceremony because you're basically opening your front door for all energies to come in that don't have a home. I'm right. Sorry.
I agree.
I feel that way. And so this family had been really hooked on their Ouija board, and this priest came in and said, you know, you got to get rid of it. So they did this whole ceremony around it and they took it outside. And the next day it was inside the house. It was like, wait a minute. And so this thing was super strong, and it was crazy how you hear these stories. And this is from a priest. So these stories are out there, and I've interviewed a lot of people like you, Dave, who them, you know, and the thing is that I don't think these people would gain anything by making these up.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So in your skepticism turned evidence of your job.
Right.
What is your belief system now?
I definitely believe there's something out there. I mean, working with Susan and some of the other mediums I have worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the evidence I get a lot of help me's from the other side.
Help
also
me's.
A lot of get outs and leave nows and
mm-hmm.
but a lot of help me's. And dealing with Susan and some of the other mediums, I truly believe that it's spirits that lost their way and they just can't find their way into the light. And someone like Susan that's very talented could help them move on.
Yes.
That's if they're willing.
That's true. And it's a process. I mean, Susan Roland talks about that. It's like not everybody wants to go there. And they're
right.
kind of doing this loop in, you know, time and space, right? Where they're repeating the same thing over and over and over
right.
again. And it's just, it's not getting resolved. I interviewed one medium who had been called to a home in Chicago. And this guy was trying to renovate it. And it was really annoying because the hauntings kept happening. And by golly, he can't redo his bathroom if the toothbrush is getting thrown across the room. That's really inconvenient. And he was just like, just fix it. You know, he didn't know what to make of it, but he knew something was happening. And he was spending all this money and he wanted it done, right? So this woman comes in and she doesn't want to go on the record because she has a very like serious business career, but she does this on the side, which I'm sure you find a lot of people like
yes.
that too, Dave, right?
Yes.
They keep it close to the chest. For a long time, even Susan Roland did. You
right?
didn't even know.
I had no idea for years. And and she's talented. I mean,
yeah.
you know, there's different levels with people with that ability, but she has everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And so, but she didn't tell anybody for
right.
decades, right? So this woman is called to this trader's house and he's trying to redo his bathroom. And it's a very old home that actually was around during the Chicago fire.
Oh,
and
wow.
so what had happened was is she found this family that was running around in circles replaying the night of the Chicago fire where the house burned down and they all died. The kids first, then the mom, then the dad. But for very different reasons, they were all trying to look for each other and couldn't find each other. So they didn't want to go into the light because they didn't want to go without the other. Right.
Right.
So here, imagine that movie just going on and on and on. And they all needed guidance. And so on a very rainy, awful, cold day, this person, you know, supposedly talked them in, apparently. But all I saw was the sun come in through the window and make it shiny. I didn't know what was going on. I just saw the sun come out of the clouds. The rain stopped. And then the guy said, no more hauntings. So you're kind of like, what? Could it be a coincidence? Sure.
Right.
We were there that day. The sun came out and then it all stopped. Absolutely.
You always got to think that way first.
Yeah.
You know?
But we didn't have you there, Dave, to monitor it with all the equipment.
I tell you, there's been some cases that Susan and some other psychics been on. It's just, it floors me. It's
like,
hard
what
for
are
me
some
to swallow.
Of them?
I'll give you an example. We did a case with Susan. It was very, it was a sad case.
Yeah.
But this one I needed help with. It made the news, this case. It was, I think, back in 2013 in Downers Grove, the house where the husband got fired and murdered his family. And,
oh, my gosh. I remember
and
that.
And then killed himself.
Okay.
And,
so they called on you and Susan.
Yeah. Someone bought the house and then rented it out.
Mm.
And saw a family, husband,
I bet that
wife,
wasn't a happy house.
No, that house, you could walk in. You could feel the energy.
Ugh.
I mean, it was so heavy. I had a hard time breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out all the heaviness was along where all the bad stuff happened. The
and
right
what
side
was, the,
was good.
What was the chain of events? What did he do? He first killed the kids and the wife, or I can't remember the exact.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while. I
right.
forget which one was first.
Yeah, yeah, but
yeah.
all of it is still
but
awful.
I think the last one was the youngest daughter, but it was amazing. I didn't tell Susan anything. And I didn't even give her the address until she was punching in her GPS to head right. out this way. I waited till the very last second.
Right.
And over the phone, she's already picking it up.
Right.
And started talking about the father. And she knew exactly when she got there, where the whole route where everything happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we got proof. We got a male's voice we believed to be the father.
And what did they say?
Well, one of the questions was, we were doing some research. I think it was the youngest daughter's girlfriend mm-hmm. Was there, and someone supposedly sent her to walk the dog while this all occurred.
Took place, yeah.
And so we asked who sent out so-and-so to walk the dog.
Mm-hmm.
We get a deep male voice saying their mother did.
Mm,
so we believe that to be the father. And yeah. we got two other female voices we believe possibly the mother and one of the daughters.
Wow.
And
were they saying help me, or what were they saying? Just yeah,
validating? We did get a few help me's, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to remember what else. But a lot of voice phenomenon.
Yes.
We captured unexplained voices.
Mm-hmm.
But Susan went back there the next day, and I'm so mad I didn't take off another day of work.
To get it.
To get there, because the client called me up crying,
mm-hmm.
and she said Susan was glowing, her aura was glowing,
mm-hmm.
and she moved the whole family. The mother wanted, she goes, we forgive him. We want to move on as a family to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It's very touching.
Absolutely.
But the house is 100% different.
Amazing.
You can feel it. And how do you explain that?
Well, I recently was called, you know, sometimes realtors will call me and say, Jen, there's a house. It can't sell. People say they see stuff. You know, it's scary. It's spooky. There's a bad feeling. Call some of your friends. Call your people, you know. So I went to this one home, and the ultimate irony of this, Dave, is I lived in this house from the age of 9 to 16.
Oh,
like,
wow.
What? This was my old house. So I'm called to this house where I used to live. I run up the stairs to go see my old room.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wall. It's now the master bathroom. Where my bed is the toilet. What does that mean, Dave? That was a little hard for me to swallow, but
right.
anyway. So they're renovating and they're rehabbing, and this house was built in the late 1800s, and there's so much sadness in this house. And to watch these people walk through, and I mean, I remember I was in the basement, just like you were talking about, when you feel this intense sadness. I was standing there, and I got this wave of sadness. I felt like I was going to, like, choke up, and then I started bawling, and then I got goosebumps, and then I saw an orange light off to the side, and all the stuff was going on. I was like, and my son was standing right there, and one of the quote Ghostbusters, you know, one of the gentlemen was there, and he's like, Jen, go upstairs. And I didn't even know what was happening. I'm like, what's happening? I'm taking my sage upstairs and I'm out of here. You know, I just ran up. And then, you know, if I hadn't experienced it, Dave, I wouldn't have believed it. But they found out a lot of people were hurt and killed, and all sorts of stuff happened in this house. And after they worked on it, they've now been able to move in. They're, you know, the craziness stopped because all these spirits were lost and wanted help.
Right.
Now, not all of them want help, right? But
right.
they still can be ushered out. They can still be told to get out. Have you experienced that?
Yes. Even if you sage a place, mm-hmm. A lot of people think you could do it once,
and you're
that's
done.
It.
Yeah. yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you have to do it multi times.
Right.
And sometimes you have to add other things with it. You
like
know?
What? What have you heard? What have you seen? What works?
You were just talking about that Hollywood. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do a combination of sage, and then I go around with that afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it seems to help. And some you got to make sure you get every bit of the house, every mm-hmm. corner of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Do the mirrors.
It's
if
exhausting.
You have a crawl space, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
But you might have to do it multi times. Like, for instance, you know, Susan even tells me, even though I wasn't, you know, if I wasn't paranormal investigating, just because of my career as a police officer,
mm-hmm.
I should be doing it daily.
Right.
Because all that negativity I come across every day, I'm bringing it home.
And I think about that with everybody who has a job. I mean, for myself as a journalist, everything's wrong. Back to you, you know, all the murder and dismal stuff
right.
and the fires, and you as a first responder, here you are dealing with all this stuff, and even just trying to abide by the law and uphold the law, people
right.
get mad at you.
You're, right.
And you're like, wow, you're always in trouble, man.
I tell you though, now being at the airport,
uh-huh.
it's amazing. It's a turnaround. Now, instead of maybe someone giving me the finger or telling me to F off, excuse the expression, now I get thank you for your service.
You do?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Oh, how nice is that? Yeah. That makes you feel good. You see Dave Olson at the airport, everybody. Just wave and say hi. What's your website, Dave, so people can get tuned into what
it's
you're up
ChicagoParanormalInvestigators.com. It's actually being redone at the moment.
Okay.
They're supposed to have it up fully by beginning of November. I'm going to be doing an event out in...
You're under construction.
Yeah. You know, for a long time, it's my own fault, but I was delaying it because... I was under contract with producers, and I thought the name was going to change. And
that's right, sure.
So I held off, but...
Just be you, man.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Just do you, and just be you.
Yeah.
So some other stories of just things that changed your belief system and your paranormal investigation.
Well, you know, it started out... I experienced stuff when I was younger, and I'll get to the investigations in a second, but stuff happened to me when I was younger that really made me curious.
Like what?
And just... disembodied voices. And I remember as a kid bringing my mom into the room. Mom, I hear muffled conversations. I can't understand what they want. So I'm a little bit on a sensitive side. Not like Susan, or at least, you know, not yet.
Right.
But I could feel when they were around. And they almost make me feel sick.
Right.
And I could hear them at times. And, you know, I'll be at an investigation. Hey, did you hear that? That's a kid or that's a female. And, sometimes no one hears it other than a medium.
Right.
So I've always had that ability as a kid, so that opened my eyes. Okay, this might be true, but I need to experience for myself to believe.
Totally. I've met a lot of first responders who have had very similar circumstances, and they think it's in their head, or they don't want to talk about it with the guys because they don't want to be thought of as weird, and, you know, a lot of that stuff.
I opened myself up to that, but there's so many officers and firemen. Like, I have a fireman on my team, Matt Perry. Very good guy.
Yeah.
And he's very skeptical, but there's stuff that happened to him he just can't explain.
Yep.
But which you need. You know, you got to look at both sides. And but there's a lot of people out in the field that believe. They just won't say so.
They won't. Right. What's one of your favorite, like, good investigations where things, like, ended nicely, other than what you just did with Susan? That's a wonderful, happy ending.
Yes, from a very sad story. And, you know, it makes me feel good when I'm able to help both sides, you know, and not just the living, but it makes me feel good if there's a spirit that we can help that's just lost and needs to move on, doesn't know how.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them are home investigations. I get a lot of residential. And it makes me feel good.
Being able to do that. You show up, you got a badge, you show up. Hey, how you doing? Residential, this is me. Dave Olson in the house.
Search warrant. We did this place in Melrose Park, and the first time I was ever sworn at, like I said, I didn't even know it was possible, but it got the F-bombs thrown at me.
From the other side?
From the other side.
Who swore at you?
I believe to be gangsters. It was Al Capone's driver, Rocco DeGrazia, that owned the place. And
where were you?
It's Melrose. It was called, back in the day, it was called Casa Madrid. Now, it's like if they still own it, a big tires sound shop. And the whole basement was like, if you watch The Sopranos, it was a strip joint.
Totally.
Gambling, two bars and underground tunnels.
Yeah.
But, you know, usually I don't provoke, but when it comes to sometimes like a prison, I'll stir the pot a little bit. Or if a gangster's knowing they hate the police or whatever.
Sure. So what did you say to Rocco? To piss him off.
You know, we started
out... Hey, DeGrazzo, show me what you got.
It was perfect timing. You know, I sometimes I'll bring some police gear just to stir it up. You know, my star, nightstick, handcuffs, and just make the sounds. And
just to remind him.
Yeah, there was a siren going. I know the place was raided several times by doing history, you know, from local police, FBI, county. And there was a siren outside going by. So I'm like, okay, perfect time. I'll grab my cuffs and I grab paper. I'm like, search warrant. We're going to raid you. We're going to find a safe and take your money. And right there, it stirred it up. And we get, you got to be effing kidding me.
You heard it all.
Yeah, we're effed. And then the last one, I think, was you're effing dead.
Oh, wow. So here you are doing your job, and it's like, for those who are wondering how that's even possible, it's like another dimension just kind of popped up and just hit the play button. Like, you just heard a little, like, excerpt from that era.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. And you know what is so cool is, you know, we're here at this time, but it was like a the activity was going on. We got EVPs, which I believe to be residual. Mm-hmm. You could hear ladies in the night that were working offering their services.
In the voice phenomenon.
Yeah, female voices. I can't say on the radio. Yeah. But they were actually offering their services, and uh-huh. you get male responses saying, do it, want right. some. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So I have somebody who told me, now this is just a friend who told me a story, and they own a place that was owned by a gangster. And so they were all outside having a good time, and somebody came inside to go to the bathroom, and there was a party in the living room of like flappers, and this guy saw an entire party. Wow. And he doesn't believe in any of this stuff. He'd heard them telling the stories. He was kind of like, yeah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. He goes in to go to the bathroom. He sees that he left and never came back.
Wow.
it was kind of like you getting scratched in the eye. Like it freaked him so far out that he was just like, I can't ever recover from that. Until you see it and experience it, you're never going to embrace it.
Right. And I understand. If I wasn't doing this, I'd be looking at it to, yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah.
What other cool Chicago places with historical significance have you been to that was fun for you?
You know what is really cool? And I had no idea until Ursula asked me to help a couple years ago to give tours at the Lincoln Park Zoo. I had no idea that was so haunted there.
And why is it so haunted at the zoo?
Well, I didn't even know the history on it, but it all goes back to like the Chicago Fair time.
Sure, the World's Fair.
Right.
1893.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there was four cemeteries there. I think it was a Jewish, Potter's Field, a city cemetery, uh-huh. Catholic, and...
And they just put a zoo over it. Never mind.
You know what? The Chicago Fire came by and destroyed everything.
Oh, good.
Well, almost everything.
Yes, yes.
So you had all the people moving out, lost mm-hmm. everything, and then new people coming in.
Yeah.
Had no idea. All the markers were burned up.
The markers were burned.
So they had no idea. They still, I think they estimate about 13,000 bodies still buried around that area.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back. Sorry. No wonder the lions howl. I mean, truly, I have friends who live near Lincoln Park Zoo, and they say they just hear the animals howling. They must
the
be
woman's
like...
bathroom in the lion's house.
Yes.
It's very haunted.
So it's in the lion's house.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's funny you said that.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how about, did you do the Green Mill or any of these other places?
No, you know what? I'd like to.
What's the place on Lincoln? The Biograph, all that stuff?
Yeah. No, you know, I haven't been to them yet. Hopefully one day. You know where I was asked, but it fell through, was the Lyric Opera House.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping. I told Susan about it.
Mm-hmm.
We had meetings, but everything's union there, so.
Got it. Same probably with the Congress Hotel. Ursula Bielski always talks about the Congress as one of the most haunted, if not the most haunted hotel in Chicago.
Yeah. My teammates and I, we spent the night there a few times. You know, I had rooms.
Got
captured
it.
Stuff.
So people are, you know, having experiences with things going bump in the night, they can call you.
Yes.
But also, how do they protect themselves? How do people just kind of, like we talked about, there's the sage, there's the Palo Santo, but, you know, get out the big guns and don't discount the power of protection, because I really, truly believe in it.
Oh, I agree. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, this, you know, I always believed in God, but mm-hmm. doing this got me a little more religious. And
yeah.
I asked for help and protection and... You know, I'm not here to preach religion and that. Everyone has their own beliefs, but I think that's very important. I'm always asking help from my spirit guides
mm-hmm.
and just from guardian angels.
Right.
And Susan's a big believer
of
when
the
it comes
angels.
To angels.
Absolutely. Now, you have a family, you have a wife. Does your wife believe in all this stuff?
You know, she went on a few with me at the very beginning. Yeah, she's a believer.
Okay.
And once we had our daughter, mm-hmm. She, you know, she gave it up. And she's nervous because... To be honest, and like I said, I didn't even know this was possible until I started doing this. And you have to protect yourself because there's been at least a handful of times where I left an investigation and now I have something in my house.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God. Nothing bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it wants me to know it's there. It's like pulling my shirt, whispering in my ear. You know, I'm here. And I remember one time, and I kept on hearing the footsteps and... So I called Susan. I'm like, okay, now I'm a victim here.
Right, come and clear my house.
Yeah, she told me what to do. And this was going back from the beginning when I first started.
Oh, okay.
You do have to protect yourself. And so what my team and I, what we do after every investigation, it seems to help.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get so tired, we'll be breaking down equipment. It's 5 a.m.
Yeah.
We got 4 hours to drive back from a location or something. And
all
we want to do is sleep, and we forget, and that's when we have a problem. But... We sage ourselves, mm-hmm. we'll say protection prayers. We'll stage all the equipment.
Yep.
And the inside of the command center.
Absolutely.
And when we do that, everything seems to be fine.
And for those who aren't familiar with Sage, my gosh, you can buy it at Whole Foods.
That's where I got
Amazon.
A lot of mine,
yeah.
Yes.
They've got them in the stick form where they have it loose and it smells like pot. So just be ready. You know, your neighbors are going to think you're token up, but you're just protecting yourself.
You're right. I'm afraid a long drive home.
Yeah.
Officer.
Officer. I am an officer. Right. I was just burning sage. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Don't you know Dave Olson? I'm going to pull that one. I'm going to be like, hey, Chicago Paranormal. So awesome. So if people want to find you, your website is under construction. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes.
People can find you?
Yes. Same name on Facebook. And we update that all the time. And the new website should be out soon.
Fantastic. Dave Olson, I'm so grateful for all that you do. And please keep me posted on everything. We're going to get you a show somehow. There's got to be a show documenting. We need to go through Chicago. So if anyone's out there listening with the Travel Channel or whatever, we've got to get our team and go through haunted Chicago, haunted New Orleans, haunted Las Vegas. It's there. It's ripe for the picking.
I got everything you see on TV. I spent thousands of my own money. Mm. In my wife's probably right.
In your hours and hours of footage. Well, we're going to get that documentary up so people can watch it, because that must get out there.
It's a show. I have everything. It's just ready to go, move forward.
It's ready to rock and roll. Yeah. Do you have a YouTube channel?
I have my own personal one, but we're working actually on a CPI channel.
That is what we need to get you to
do.
Because those videos, I'm sorry, I hate to break it to you, but my son, who's 12, doesn't even watch regular television anymore. Everything is on YouTube on his little handheld.
My daughter's 8, same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. So when he says to me, Mom, my favorite YouTube star, it's like, forget it. There's no more TV star. It's all YouTube. So you got the stuff. Let's put it out there, okay? Deal? Yes.
Sounds good.
Okay. Good deal. Otherwise, Rocco's going to come after both of us. Dave Olson, you're the man. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. And
thank
keep me posted on everything, okay?
Will do. Thank you so much.
And
it's been an honor.
Oh, it's so amazing. And you will be continuing this journey. I know it.
Thank you. It's a calling. I can feel it.
Yeah. And you can't stop a calling. That I know for sure. Everybody out there, be good to others. Treat others the way you'd like to be treated. And by all means, stay spiritual, damn it. I'm Jennifer Weigel, and we'll talk with you next time.